In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which I've already read. The central events of Christianity are the death and resurrection of Jesus. Without them, Christianity becomes a falling house of cards. In Romans 5, St. Paul writes, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It is through Christ's perfect life and death that we receive the abundance of grace and the righteousness of Christ that covers all our sins." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "Our faith is in vain and we are still in our sins if Christ has not been raised from the dead." These events are of first importance to the Christian. These are of first importance because it is in the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus that the forgiveness of sins was won for us. But it is important for us to remember that being located in the places where forgiveness was won actually it's important for us to remember that being in that location where forgiveness was won does not actually deliver to us the forgiveness of sins. There at the cross, there were Jews, soldiers, and even one of the thieves crucified with Jesus that mocked the Lord. We are fairly certain from the scriptural witness that these did not receive Jesus. That is the primary weakness of the spiritual song that asks the question, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" The answer is obviously, no, you weren't. But even if you were, there is no promise attached to being there. Instead of bringing us back through time or asking us to climb up to heaven, our God brings the work of Christ forward in time to us today, this evening. St. Paul says he received this teaching from the Lord, which he passed on to the Christians in Corinth, which we now have today. Something that is helpful for our understanding about the ongoing significance of the Lord's Supper in the life of the Christian congregation is the fact that St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians about how the Lord's Supper ought to be administered among them after the ascension of Jesus into heaven. This shows that the apostles understood the Lord's command, "Do this in remembrance of me," to mean that Christians should continue to observe this practice. In fact, we have another document called the Didache. This is a document that's not found in the New Testament, but it was written during the time of the apostles that teaches about how Christians were to receive the sacrament of the altar. We also have one other historical fact to consider. St. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians before Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote their gospel accounts. This means that our epistle reading containing the words of institution for the Lord's Supper is the earliest written record of Christians celebrating the Lord's Supper that we have. The question now becomes, why is the Lord's Supper so important in the life of the Christian church? Well, for this, we ought to go to the Lord's Word. What does Jesus actually say? He says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." We hear these words often enough that it is easy for us to kind of overlook them. With these words, Jesus is telling us that he is physically present with us in this meal. He's in the room with us. This means that we should consider that the same Christ that was born of Mary, who preached to the crowds, who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who hanged on the cross for our sins, who was raised from the dead on the third day, and who ascended into heaven, is the exact same Christ that offers himself to us at this altar this evening. When Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," he meant it. This was not some spiritualized promise. The bread we eat and the cup we drink are the flesh and blood Christ who has come to dwell among us. This goes back to the first point. Jesus doesn't require us to go back to the cross. Instead, he brings forward the work of the cross to us. Jesus wants to cover us in his righteousness so that when God, our Father in heaven, looks down at us, he doesn't see our sins anymore. But he isn't content just to do this from afar. He wants to be present with us when he does it, as close as you and I are to one another. Now, the second reason that the Lord's Supper is so central to the life of the church is also found in the words of Jesus. Again, he says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus gave his body over to be crucified to win forgiveness for us. In order to give that forgiveness, Jesus feeds us with that same body that was broken on the cross and gives us his blood that is poured out from his wounds to drink. This is one of the ways God has chosen to make forgiveness available to his people today. Now, it could be argued, certainly, that Christians can receive forgiveness from other sources. God promises, for instance, to wash away our sins in holy baptism. When the pastor stands in the stead and by the command of Jesus and forgives you your sins, they are certainly forgiven, as Jesus says in John 20. God answers our prayers for forgiveness whenever we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses." So isn't the Lord's Supper just one more helping of the same thing? In a sense, it is. But God makes forgiveness available to us through these many means because of our great need for it. Our sinful flesh is constantly wandering from the goodness of God's word. The world tries to aid and abet our flesh, and the devil is constantly after us, seeking to devour us like a lion stalking his prey. We need the forgiveness of sins like a fish needs water. And thanks be to God that he is not a stingy giver. Therefore, this evening, as we move yet one step closer to the crucifixion of Jesus, let us eat this bread and drink this cup, and so proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For this bread is not just plain bread, and this wine is not just plain wine. Indeed not. With his own word, Jesus tells us that with the bread and the wine, he gives us his true body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord.